Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive, ready to untangle another knot in the world of energy and keep those lights on.
We're going to be diving into something today most people don't really think about. I mean, you just flip a switch and expect things to work, right?
Exactly, it's like magic.
Yeah.
But today we're going to try to demystify that magic a little bit and look at how electricity markets actually function, especially in a rapidly changing world with, tons of new technologies coming online and these crazy weather events we've been seeing.
And, as we electrify everything from our cars to heating systems to pretty much our entire lives, the stakes just get higher and higher. So we need a system that's, up for the challenge.
Okay, so let's get specific. We're focusing on the ERCOT market today. That's the Texas electricity grid. And to guide our deep dive, we've got three really interesting sources.
Yeah, we've got this academic paper that really gets into the nitty-gritty of hedging strategies.
And then we've got a grant proposal and a more detailed paper that lay out a pretty radical idea. It's a thing called a forward energy market.
It's all about managing risk in a market that, well, let's face it, can be pretty volatile.
Yeah, so let's start with that volatility problem.
Mm-hmm.
One of our papers highlights some pretty wild price swings in ERCOT. The average day-ahead price was something like $43 per megawatt hour, which, on the surface doesn't sound too crazy.
Right.
But then you look at the extremes.
Yeah, between 2011 and 2022, there were almost 900 hours where prices spiked to between $200. And get this, a mind-blowing $9,000 per megawatt hour.
$9,000.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, those kinds of price swings, that's not just an abstract number. It has real-world consequences for people.
Absolutely. Think back to Winter Storm Uri in 2021. The Texas grid was pushed to its limits.
Yeah, that was rough.
Leading to those rolling blackouts, people stuck with sky-high energy bills. It was a mess and, tragically even led to loss of life. So these events really highlight just how crucial it is to have a system that can handle, this kind of volatility.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the million-dollar question. Why is electricity so much more volatile than, say, the price of oil or stocks? What makes it so different?
Well, there are a few key factors at play. The first is that demand for electricity is what we call inelastic.
Inelastic.
Yeah, so basically, even if the price per kilowatt hour suddenly doubles, you still need to power your fridge, your AC, your lights. You can't just decide to skip using electricity for a day or two.
Right. It's not like you can just stock up on electricity for a rainy day.
Exactly. We don't have large-scale storage solutions yet. So that means supply and demand need to be balanced in real time, which makes the system super sensitive to, sudden changes. Then there's the way power plants are actually dispatched, which is based on what we call the merit order curve.
Okay, merit order curve. I'm intrigued. Break it down for me. Like, we're both back in high school economics class.
Okay, so imagine like a stack of blocks, each one representing a different type of power plant. The cheapest ones, like wind and solar, those go on the bottom. As demand for electricity increases, we got to add more blocks to that stack, moving up to more expensive sources like natural gas plants. And then when you hit peak demand, you might have to use those really expensive peaker plants, which can really drive up the price.
Okay, so it's all about supply and demand, but with this extra layer of complexity because of the different types of power plants and how they're brought online.
Right. And to make things even more complicated, we've got this huge influx of renewable energy and, of course, those increasingly wild weather events we've been seeing.
Yeah, things are definitely getting more interesting. Or maybe the word is terrifying, depending on how you look at it.
Well, either way, it definitely makes things more challenging to manage.
Okay, so that brings us to this academic paper that dives into the ERCOT market and uses a pretty sophisticated model to simulate how all these different pieces fit together. It's called a regime switching model. Have you ever heard of this thing?
Yeah, it's pretty complex, but it basically allows them to model different scenarios, things like hourly prices, gas prices, even the amount of solar and wind generation. They're trying to understand how all these variables interact and how they affect the bottom line for both the generators, the folks producing the electricity, and the LSEs, those who buy it, to supply their customers.
And to add another layer of complexity, they use another model on top of that to actually figure out which power plants would run in each hour and what their profits would look like. It's like a giant puzzle they're trying to put together.
Yeah, they're modeling that merit order system we talked about to see how the mix of power plants would change based on demand and the cost of each fuel source.
And the ultimate goal of all this modeling is to figure out how to best use tools like forward contracts and options to manage risk, both for the generators and those LSEs.
Exactly. It's all about hedging those bets and trying to stay ahead of those wild price swings.
Okay, so let's take a step back and talk about those tools, because they seem to be at the heart of this whole hedging strategy. Can you give us a quick crash course on how forward contracts and options actually work?
Sure. A forward contract is basically an agreement to buy or sell electricity at a set price in the future. Let's say you're an LSE and you're worried about price spikes next summer. You could enter into a forward contract to buy electricity for July at a price you agree on today.
So you're locking in a price now to avoid those potential price hikes later.
Yeah.
Makes sense, especially for those LSEs who, they need to keep the lights on for their customers no matter what the market does.
Exactly. Now, options are a bit different. They give you the right, but not the obligation to buy or sell electricity at a predetermined price. So it's like an insurance policy.
Okay, an insurance policy.
Yeah, you pay a premium for the option, and if the price spikes above that predetermined level, you can exercise your option and buy at the lower price.
So it's a bit more flexibility for those just-in-case situations. What I find really interesting is that these contracts can be tailored to specific hours,
Yeah.
days, even months, or years in advance. It's pretty granular.
Yeah, that level of granularity is crucial because it allows you to manage risk really precisely. But it also makes the market incredibly complex, which is why these simulation models are so important. They help us, make sense of how all these different pieces fit together.
Okay, so we've got these different players trying to navigate this volatile market using these tools like forward contracts and options. But the big question is, how do those price spikes actually affect them differently? I mean, generators are the ones selling electricity, and LSEs are buying it, so they must have completely opposite perspectives on those big price swings.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When prices spike, generators have the potential for, big gains.
It's like winning the lottery.
Yeah, exactly. But for LSEs, it can be a disaster. Those unexpected costs can really hurt their bottom line.
So it's a real balancing act for everyone involved. LSEs want to use these tools to lock in prices and avoid those scary spikes, while generators might be tempted to stay exposed to those spikes and hope to, make a killing.
Yeah, it's like a high-stakes poker game.
And that brings us to this pretty radical proposal, this concept of a forward energy market, or FEM, and this is where things get really interesting.
This forward energy market, or FEM, it's a pretty bold idea. Imagine a system where LSEs are required to buy a certain amount of their electricity needs years in advance.
Years in advance, like how far out are we talking?
Like starting 4 years out.
4 years?
Oh.
Isn't that a bit like trying to predict the weather, 4 years from now? What if some crazy new technology comes along or people's habits change? I mean, 4 years ago, most of us hadn't even heard of COVID, and look at how that turned everything upside down.
Yeah, predicting the future is definitely not an exact science, and the paper acknowledges that. But the whole point of this FEM is to create a more stable, predictable market. If LSEs are required to lock in a portion of their needs so far in advance, it encourages everyone to think long term and make smarter decisions about investments and planning.
So instead of scrambling to buy electricity at the last minute and
Yeah.
potentially getting slammed with those crazy prices we talked about, they'd be gradually securing a chunk of their needs through this FEM.
Exactly. It's like planning your grocery shopping for the whole month instead of running to the store every day and hoping they have what you need. It just makes things smoother, more efficient, and hopefully leads to more stable prices for everyone.
Okay, smoother prices,
Yeah.
better planning. I like the sound of that. But this whole thing hinges on the idea that more forward trading leads to more stable prices. Is there any evidence to back that up? I mean, models are great, but the real world can be a lot messier.
Right. Well, that's where those simulation models come in. The researchers used real data from ERCOT to test out their theories, and they found that at least in their simulations, the FEM did lead to a significant reduction in price volatility.
Okay, so promising results, but of course, models are just models. So there's always that chance things could play out differently in reality.
Exactly. But it's a good sign that this approach could actually work.
Okay, so let's talk practicality.
Yeah.
This FEM sounds like a massive undertaking. Who would actually run this thing? And how could they possibly manage a market with, thousands of products being traded from monthly forward, years in advance, down to hourly contracts, just a day out? It's
Yeah.
mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's a lot to manage. The proposal suggests that the independent system operator, or ISO, would be in charge of running the FEM.
The ISO, so the folks who are already managing the grid and overseeing the electricity markets.
Right, they already have a lot of the infrastructure and expertise in place.
But wouldn't adding this massive forward market to their plate be like asking a chef to cook a five-course meal while simultaneously juggling flaming torches?
Well, it's definitely a big responsibility, but the paper argues that the ISO is already performing similar functions in the existing markets. You know, they're used to dealing with complex data, managing real-time operations, ensuring fairness and transparency.
Okay, so they have the experience, but what about the sheer volume of transactions? Wouldn't a market this granular just be too clunky and inefficient?
Well, that's where this concept of flow trading comes in. Think of it like a constant stream of mini markets happening throughout the day. Instead of a few big, cumbersome auctions, you'd have this constant ebb and flow of smaller transactions.
So more like a stock market for electricity with constant trading and price adjustments.
Exactly, and it's not just about efficiency. Flow trading could also help to address that liquidity issue you mentioned. By having a continuous market, it's easier for buyers and sellers to find each other and make deals, even for those more niche products with longer time horizons.
Flow trading. Got it. Sounds pretty clever. So we've got this FEM, which is all about forward trading, and we've got flow trading to keep things moving smoothly. But we already have capacity markets, which are designed to ensure reliability and encourage investment in new power plants. Why even consider this FEM if those existing mechanisms are already in place?
That's a good question, and capacity markets definitely have their place. But they've also been the subject of a lot of debate and scrutiny. They can be complex, prone to gaming, and haven't always delivered the desired outcomes.
Yeah, Winter Storm Uri really exposed some of the weaknesses in those capacity markets, didn't it? We saw those rolling blackouts, sky-high prices, a lot of finger-pointing about who was to blame.
Exactly, and that's why Crampton and his colleagues believe this forward energy market could be a game changer. They argue that it addresses some of the fundamental flaws of capacity markets, like market power issues and price distortions.
So they're saying this FEM is like a better mousetrap. It does everything the capacity market does, but better.
Well, that's the argument. They believe that the FEM's simplicity, transparency, and market-driven approach would lead to better outcomes for everyone. It's about creating a level playing field where prices are determined by actual supply and demand, not by complex administrative procedures or the influence of, powerful players.
Less bureaucracy, more market forces. I like it. But how does this FEM actually address those specific flaws you mentioned, like market power and price distortions?
Okay, so let's start with market power. In capacity markets, large players can sometimes manipulate the system to their advantage. They might withhold capacity or engage in other strategic behaviors to drive up prices.
Well, it's like a rigged game where some players have an unfair advantage right from the start.
Exactly. Now, in a forward energy market, prices are determined by the collective actions of all participants, not by the decisions of a few powerful players. It's more like a true free market where supply and demand actually set the price.
Okay, so it's about diffusing that concentrated power and creating a more level playing field. What about price distortions? How does the FEM address those?
Well, capacity markets often rely on these complex administrative procedures to determine how much each generator can sell, and this can lead to price distortions because the administrative process might not accurately reflect the actual costs and capabilities of each power plant.
Right, like that whole accreditation process in capacity markets,
Yeah.
which tries to figure out how much reliable capacity each power plant actually has. But isn't that process pretty subjective and open to interpretation?
It can be, and that's where the FEM comes in. By shifting to a market-driven approach where prices are determined by the actual supply and demand for future electricity, you eliminate the need for those complex administrative procedures and reduce the risk of price distortions. The market itself becomes the mechanism for determining the value of each power plant's capacity.
So less red tape, more market forces at play. Sounds good in theory, but you know how it is, the devil's always the details. How would this FEM actually work in practice?
Well, the paper goes into a lot of detail about the structure and operation of the FEM, laying out specific market rules, trading mechanisms, and risk management strategies. They even compare their proposal to the current approaches used by different ISOs across the U.S., highlighting the potential advantages of the FEM in terms of cost efficiency and, its ability to foster innovation.
Speaking of comparisons, one thing that really stood out to me was their discussion of how U.S. electricity markets differ from those in Europe, particularly in Germany.
It's an interesting comparison. Crampton and his colleagues point out that Germany, despite having a more reliable electricity system than Texas, also has much higher electricity prices.
Wait, so they're more reliable but also more expensive? How does that work?
Well, they've made a big commitment to renewable energy, which is great.
Yeah.
But Crampton's team suggests that Germany's approach hasn't fully embraced market mechanisms that could help lower costs and improve efficiency.
So they're saying Germany could learn a thing or two from the U.S. experience when it comes to using market forces to drive down prices.
That's the argument. They believe that approaches like nodal pricing and forward markets could be really beneficial in the German context.
But wouldn't a more market-driven approach, like the one they're proposing, potentially undermine Germany's efforts to promote renewable energy? Wouldn't that make it harder for renewables to compete?
It's a valid concern, but the authors actually argue the opposite. They believe that the forward energy market would actually be good for renewable energy integration. They say that by creating more predictable long-term price signals, it actually makes it easier for renewable energy developers to make informed investment decisions.
Ah, I see. If you know what the price of electricity is likely to be years in advance, it's easier to plan and finance those big renewable energy projects.
Exactly. And the paper even suggests that the FEM could be used to manage renewable energy certificates, or RECs, which are a key tool for promoting renewable energy development. They see the FEM as a platform that could help renewables grow, not hinder them.
Okay, so they're not just saying that this FEM would work alongside renewable energy. They're saying it could actually help accelerate its growth. That's a pretty bold claim.
It is, and it gets even more interesting when you start thinking about the role of government policies, like this contract for difference contracts or CFDs.
CFDs, those are the contracts where the government guarantees a fixed price for renewable energy, right? Kind of like a safety net for developers to make sure they can make a profit, even if market prices go crazy.
Exactly. But Crampton and his colleagues argue that while CFDs can be helpful, they can also create distortions in the market if they're not designed carefully.
Distortions. How so?
Well, if a renewable energy generator has a CFD in place, they might be less inclined to participate in the forward energy market because their revenue is already guaranteed by the government. And that could actually undermine the effectiveness of the FEM.
So it's like having a player in the game who's not really playing by the same rules as everyone else. They're getting a special advantage, which can skew the results.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And that's why Crampton and his team suggest that if CFDs are used, they should be structured in a way that doesn't interfere with the functioning of the forward energy market. Maybe the government could adjust the amount of electricity that LSEs are required to purchase through the FEM to account for the expected generation from those CFD-backed projects. Or they could use other tools like carbon pricing or renewable energy standards to incentivize renewable energy development in a way that's more compatible with the market-driven approach of the FEM.
So finding the right balance between government support and market forces, it's a tricky equation.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore some of the potential challenges and criticisms of this forward energy market and whether it's truly a viable path forward for electricity markets. Stay with us.
Okay, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into this wild world of electricity markets. We've talked about those crazy price swings in Texas, the ins and outs of hedging, and this bold new idea of a forward energy market, or FEM. But like any big idea, it's bound to have some critics. So let's get into some of the potential challenges and see if this FEM can really hold up to scrutiny.
Yeah, one of the first things that comes to mind is, how would this FEM handle those really extreme, unexpected events, those things that can totally throw a wrench in the system?
Like, what kind of events are we talking about?
Well, like a sudden cold snap that sends demand through the roof,
Okay.
or a major power plant going offline unexpectedly. Those black swan events.
Those are the scenarios that keep grid operators up at night. It's like trying to juggle a bunch of chainsaws and then suddenly someone throws a bowling ball into the mix. How can you possibly plan for that kind of chaos, especially in a market that's based on these long-term contracts?
Yeah, the critics argue that a forward market just might not be nimble enough to handle those sudden shifts in supply and demand. It's like trying to turn a cruise ship on a dime. It takes a while to change course, and by the time you react, it might be too late.
Okay, I see their point. But the folks who are really into this FEM, they argue that it would actually make the system more resilient, more able to respond to those unexpected events. How does that even work?
Well, remember those energy options we talked about? They give you that right, but not the obligation to buy or sell electricity at a predetermined price. So it's like an insurance policy against those price spikes.
Okay, like a backup generator for your house.
Yeah.
You hope you never need it, but it's there just in case.
Exactly. And by creating this robust market for those energy options, the FEM would give people a powerful tool to manage those really crazy, unpredictable events, those tail risks that can lead to those massive price spikes.
So it's not just about locking in prices years in advance. It's about having the flexibility to react when the unexpected happens. It's like having a whole toolkit instead of just a hammer.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just about the financial tools themselves. The proponents also argue that the transparency and the predictability of this FEM would encourage better planning and investment in those resources that can really help to mitigate those risks. Things like batteries, demand response programs, even those smarter grid technologies that can manage the flow of electricity when things get really crazy.
So it's not just reacting to those events, it's about being proactive and making the system more resilient overall.
Right, exactly. It's about strengthening those levees before the hurricane hits. Not just waiting for the floodwaters to rise and then scrambling to react.
Okay, makes sense. So we've talked about those black swan events. Now, what about the ISO? I mean, some folks are worried that they might be taking on too much with this FEM. They're already responsible for keeping the lights on in real time, and now we're talking about adding this whole other layer of complexity.
It's a legitimate concern. But the folks who support the FEM, they counter that by saying that lots of ISOs already have experience running these complex markets, things like those markets for financial transmission rights, or FTRs.
FTRs, remind me what those are again.
They're basically used to hedge against congestion costs.
Oh, right. Those are the fees you have to pay to move electricity from one part of the grid to another, like paying a toll to drive on a busy highway during rush hour.
Exactly. And the argument is that the skills you need to run a market for FTRs are actually pretty similar to what you would need for this forward energy market. So it's not like the ISO would be starting from scratch. They'd be building on their existing capabilities.
So it's not a complete reinvention of the wheel, more like adding some new spokes.
Right. And another key point is that this FEM could be implemented gradually, you know, in phases. They wouldn't have to rip and replace the whole system overnight.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense from a practical standpoint. You don't want to disrupt the whole system just to add a new feature.
Exactly. Yeah. It's about finding that balance between innovation and stability, pushing the boundaries, but also making sure the lights stay on.
So after all this discussion, is this forward energy market really the answer? Is it the silver bullet that's going to solve all our problems, or is it just another well-intentioned idea that might get bogged down in all the complexity?
Well, if we've learned anything from this deep dive, it's that there are no easy answers in the energy world. There are always trade-offs to consider. But based on the research and analysis we've seen, this FEM definitely has some serious potential benefits. It's worth taking a closer look and having these conversations about how we can create a more resilient, reliable, and affordable electricity system.
Yeah, and those conversations are crucial as we move towards an increasingly electrified world. We need to be thinking creatively and critically about how we're going to design a system that can handle all the challenges that are coming our way.
Yeah.
And for you listening out there, here's something to ponder. If a well-designed forward energy market could actually lead to lower electricity prices, could it also speed up the adoption of things like electric vehicles, heat pumps, all those technologies that rely on electricity? And what would that mean for our fight against climate change? Would it make a difference? Could we actually create a more sustainable future? It's a lot to think about, but these are the kinds of questions we need to be asking ourselves.
Absolutely. The way we buy and sell electricity is changing rapidly, and those changes have real implications for all of us. So keep those brain cells buzzing and keep exploring these ideas. The future of energy really depends on it.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into electricity markets. We hope you found it insightful, thought-provoking, and maybe even a little bit electrifying. As always, thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay curious.